Thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
Daniel conquered the influence of Babylon partly because he developed an excellent spirit. Now, we too want to have an excellent spirit with which we will be enabled to conquer in every aspect of life. And the scriptures define an excellent spirit in 10 different ways. First of all, as having a spirit of truth instead of a spirit of error, a spirit of wisdom instead of simplicity, a spirit of faith instead of doubt, a spirit of grace versus rejection, a spirit of glory versus shame, a spirit of meekness versus anger, and the last time we were together, we learned about a spirit of holiness versus an unclean spirit. Now, we've learned this, and now we want to learn the 8th of the 10 attributes defined by the scriptures, which make up an excellent spirit. And what we want to learn now is how to have the spirit of praise versus a spirit of heaviness. Here's what the scripture says: to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, now watch this, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of praise is the opposite to the spirit of heaviness. It was Charles Spurgeon that said, "I have never known God to use a discouraged person." You see, the answer to discouragement and depression is to have a spirit of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Now, let's look at this diagram, because here we are, spirit, soul, and body. And what happens is we get this discouragement or this depression closing in on us. Well, watch the diagram now, because what we want is a spirit of praise. Now, here's what a spirit of praise will do. Look at this. It will push back the heaviness. It's like a garment, an environment that surrounds you that prevents discouragement and depression from getting through to you. Before giving you the 3 Bible steps to having how to have a spirit of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness, let me share with you some basic directions on dealing with depression. Let's just jot these in your notes. If you want to get rid of depression, here are a few tips. Number 1, get rid of clutter and get organized. It is amazing how just our environment makes us feel closed in because it's out of order. Then secondly, deal with unreached goals. That causes depression. Maybe some of the goals need to be rethought, discarded, and narrowed down so that they are achievable. Then learn to establish a daily schedule that will prevent you from being discouraged and depressed. Then use cheerful colors and good lighting so that it's not gloomy around you. Those physical things make a difference. Then listen to melodious music. It's amazing how music affects our spirit. Depressive, cry in your beer, cry in your milk kind of music. And even music that is erratic and monotonous and rhythmic instead of melodious will affect you. And then check your diet. See what you're eating. It can cause depression or discouragement. Then remove all sources of bitterness from your life. Many people are depressed because they're carrying anger and resentment and malice and all kinds of depressive conditions that come out of bitterness. Then learn to remove the guilt of secret sin. Secret sin has a depressing effect, and that guilt lingers with us. Get rid of sin. Come to the blood of Jesus and get cleansing. And then remove items of demonic association. I met a lady one time who kept wearing a ring from a past adulterous relationship and always in a depression. And there are artifacts, and we've talked about this before, but demonic associations can cause depression that are inexplicable by any other way. Then learn to develop wisdom, because wisdom is, in fact, seeing life and responding to life from God's point of view. In other words, we're not down there looking up. We're up here looking down. Wisdom is seeing and responding to life from God's perspective, and that will not depress you. Then learn to question the kinds of medications you might be taking, because there are many side effects of what we think is really helping us but have depressive side effects. And then learn how to get rest when you sleep. A lot of people sleep but don't get rest. And so, in fact, we've covered some of these principles on how to enter into rest, both in sleep and other ways. Now, these are just a few tips of how to get rid of discouragement and depression. But now, let's get to how to develop an excellent spirit by having a spirit of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Because if you have a spirit of praise, there will be no heaviness. The spirit of praise pushes back the heaviness of a spirit. And I tell you that Daniel, when he lived in Babylon, along with his three friends, they did not allow Babylon to get in on them. Everything around them, if they'd been walking by sight and not by faith, would have contributed to a depression because nothing looked good. The outlook was, in fact, dim. But they had a spirit of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. How do you get a spirit of praise? Number one, we must learn how to command our soul. Learn to, don't miss writing this down in your notes. Learn to command your soul. Now, remember that your soul is your intellect and your emotions. And we don't want our emotions running us. We don't even want our thoughts running us. We want to control our thoughts. We want to control our feelings. So the way to do that is to take control, is to take command. Command your soul. You say, well, where is this in the Bible? And I'm glad you're asking that question because here's the answer. David, the psalmist, learned how to command his soul. Instead of being led each every way by a passing feeling of fancy or a blizzard of emotion just drops out of the sky, those things don't move us when we learn to command our soul. Bring our emotions and our intellect under the control of our spirit. Here's the scripture. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, this is what he said. Soul, I'm telling you, I don't know, do you ever talk to yourself? I think most of us do. The problem comes if we talk back, especially if it gets into an argument. Then you're really in trouble. But David learned to say this, and he talked to his soul. He said, now, soul, I'm telling you. Soul, listen to me now, soul. You don't feel like blessing the Lord, but I am commanding you now. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In fact, everything that's within me, I'm telling you to bless his holy name. Now, one of the problems of our day is the fact that we go to worship services and we wait for the leadership or the mood of the music or something to create us feeling like worship. My greatest fear is that what we get then is not worship at all. Because what's happening is we're simply responding to an outside stimuli, and there is nothing in us that's reaching out to God. You see, the hour cometh and now is when they which worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. There is some factual basis. There is some internal reasons, and we possess our souls, and we command our souls to worship God. We worship the Lord out of the depths of our being because we're in control. Not because we get to an environment that moves us, rattles our bones, shakes our legs or fingers or wiggles our toes. We worship God because of the set of our minds, our hearts, our souls, under the control of our spirit. So learn to command your soul. Now, whether that has to do with worship or whether it has to do with any other aspect of obedience to the Lord, our souls must be commanded by our spirit. We must occupy in the same way that our body is to do what our minds and our emotions tell it to do, so our mind and emotions are to do what our spirit tells us to do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, David said, and all that is within me, I'm telling you right now, get busy and bless the Lord. And there are times when you may not feel like some act of obedience, but if you command your soul, you will never, listen to this now, you will never fail God because your soul will be in command. Now, number two, to how to have a spirit of praise after you learn to command your soul is you need to remember the benefits. David put it this way, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Look at this now, right in the scripture. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, look at this, all his benefits." Now, I tell you that in serving God, there are a lot of benefits. In fact, in Hebrews, it puts it this way. He that comes to God has to have two qualifications first. Number one, he must believe that God is. And number two, he must believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's not just those who seek him, but those who diligently seek him, God says he'll reward. And you need to come to God with a realization of two things. Number one, God is. And number two, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There are benefits to serving God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I remember I was raised in a church that learned to sing this song. In fact, my mother was a song leader, and she used to sing it, and everybody would get happy on this one. "Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, and it may surprise you what the Lord has done. People are too busy looking at the negative instead of the positive, the half-empty glass instead of the proverbial half-full glass. And we can look at what we don't have instead of what we do have. Count your blessings. Remember not just to bless the Lord, O my soul, but forget not all his benefits." Well, this same text lists here in Psalm number 103, what these benefits are. Let's take a brief look at what some of the benefits are. The benefits of serving God. Number one, and it's this scripture follows right after, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And now here comes the list. Number one, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Oh my, isn't that delightful? Everything we've ever done, every self-determinant motive, every time we have tried to outdo someone, this iniquity is asserting our own will, and we've done so many wicked things because of this, but God comes along, and one of the benefits of serving God is that sins can be counted, because a sin is a transgression of the law, but when it comes to iniquities, the scriptures, our iniquities, who can number them? They can't be measured. They are innumerable. But God comes along, and one of the benefits, forgives all our iniquities. Look at this. Number two, "Who heals all your diseases." There's not a devil or a demon that can overpower you. Those who cause sickness, demonic spirits. You see, he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Did you hear that? With his stripes we were healed. And there are people who will say, well, that only refers to healing of mental conditions and emotional conditions, not physical. And yet if you go to the New Testament, you'll discover that Jesus healed a man that it might be fulfilled that is written, "By his stripes you were healed," proving undeniably that Jesus is the great physician. He's not only able to forgive all your iniquities, but he heals all your diseases. Look at this. "Who redeems your life from destruction." Oh, he's the great redeemer, the savior of mankind. "Him that cometh unto him, he will in no wise cast out." One scripture says he saves to the uttermost. Now that's way sophisticated sins up there, or to the guttermost, someone said. The sins that he saves to the uttermost, all them that come unto God by Christ Jesus, seeing that he ever liveth and maketh intercession. He redeems you from stuff that's not good for you, that would absolutely destroy your mind, your emotions, your spirit, your eternity for that matter. So you see, he forgives all your iniquities, he heals all your diseases, and he redeems your life from destruction. Oh, let me tell you, they don't call him Savior for nothing. He's a Savior indeed. And then number four, it says in the next verse, "He crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Oh, my beloved, he crowns you. Did you know that? Do you know that there are many crowns in the Bible, some of which you have and some of which you will yet receive? One of the things that he does after redeeming us from all the stuff that destroys us is he crowns us. He makes us a king, isn't that? One of my favorite verses in Revelation, where it talks about the fact that who hath washed us from our sins in his own blood and have made us kings. Royalty. He crowns you. You see, we behave differently. We don't act like heathen. We act with, I don't want to call it sophistication, but there is an air about, there's a kingliness. There is a an esteem. There is a dimension that we carry about us, a persona, if you please. We treat everybody good. We're too big to destroy. We're too big to put others down. And he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. We are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. And it's a crown to you. It's a part of your person now. One of the benefits. He turns you into a lady and a gentleman. And isn't it true that something must happen between the entrance and the exit, between the cradle and the grave, that changes our disposition? Well, it is Jesus that does that. One of the benefits. And then Scripture says, he satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, he satisfies your mouth with good things to say, so that your youth is renewed. Now, is that a benefit or what? Your youth is renewed like an eagle because of the things that come out of your mouth. Because you see, the power of death and life is in the tongue. And he gives us good things to say. In fact, one scripture puts it this way. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. We have a lot to say to people, and listen to this, it's all good, and it's all good because it comes from God. We learn this stuff, and we speak it out, and that's what becomes a blessing to others. And so, he satisfies our mouth with good things, so that our youth is renewed like an eagle. And then, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Well, listen to this now, this is another benefit. His mercy and his grace toward us, his grace. He said his grace is sufficient even if we're in weakness. His grace is made perfect. His strength is made perfect. This grace that comes to us from the Lord is so important. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For the Lord resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, one of the benefits of serving him is that he is gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy towards us. And then, number 7, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't reward you, doesn't deal with you after your sins or because of your iniquities. Why doesn't he do that? Because we have been redeemed. The past is forgiven, the penalty is gone, and the present is too powerful and prevents all sin and iniquity. Okay, so how do you get the spirit of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness? Number 1, you learn to command your soul. Number 2, you remember all the benefits. And then number 3, we learn to sing praises to his name. Sing praises to God. I want you to take a look at the scripture. Look with me now. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Hey, let's repeat that again. Look at it now. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Let's get this over and over again. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Now watch this. For God is King of all the earth. Sing ye praises, look at this, with understanding. Command your soul, remember all the benefits, and get busy singing. You know, there's a lot. I wish I had time to take you from Genesis to Revelation in this book. It's been likened, this book has, to a great structure, a building. It has an old, ancient part and a new part, the Old Testament and the New. And if you and I were to walk into this building, well, you enter through a garden. It's the Garden of Eden. And I'm already doing what I've attempted to do. But let me not get too far into this, but to say that there are the history right inside the door, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's called the Pentateuch. And then we get through all the history books, and then we come to what's called the workshop of the Bible, the book of Job. But then the biggest room in the building is this orchestra room. It's called the Book of Psalms. It's where there's lots of music, lots of singing, lots of clapping. And that's precisely where we are to live. The Book of Psalms, I think, is a New Testament book as well as an Old Testament. I'll show you that perhaps in a moment. But we are to learn to sing. Let me give you a couple of tips. Number one, stop listening to music. Stop listening to music. Music is not for consumption. Music is for production. Don't let anybody do your singing for you. Don't let anybody make music in your place. That's why the psalmist said, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." He said, "With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness." He said, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. I will sing to thy name." This is a New Testament concept. It is a key to having the spirit of praise versus the spirit of heaviness. You got to be singing. Oh, I tell you, he puts a song in your heart. Let's look at the New Testament. Look at what it says here. "And be not drunk with wine." Now, make sure you get that straight. Do not be drunk with wine ever, wherein is excess. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, watch this, because you see, alcohol is the world's substitute for the elation that comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, look at the text with me. "Speaking to yourself in psalms," which are all music, "and hymns, and spiritual songs." Look at this now. Singing songs that are psalms, that are hymns, that are spiritual songs. Now watch this, singing, and look at this, "making melody in your heart to the Lord," making new music, making up in your own heart new melodies. This is so delightful. Let's look at the next verse. "While you're doing this, while you're singing this way, you're giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even submitting yourselves one another." Watch this, "in the fear of the Lord." How can you give thanks always for all things? Because you know that all things are working together for your good. No room for gloom here. No doubt, no fear, no depression, no discouragement, because we got a spirit of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. "Giving thanks always unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And look at this. Because it has to do with getting along with other people. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord." The New Testament is as emphatic about worship as is the Book of Psalms. This is the spirit of praise. There is no heaviness. Let's look at one more verse that Paul said. He said, "I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding." Obviously, one kind of prayer, you don't understand what you're saying, and the other kind, you do. Now watch this. He said, "I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." I want you to get this. You do not even have to worry about the lyrics or the rhyme. You don't have to memorize the words, because there is a place of singing where without your understanding, it's inexpressible to try and put it in words. You can make up these melodies. It flows out of your being. The Holy Spirit helps you to do that. This is so delightful. You get to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and sing and make up melodies in your heart, giving thanks unto the Father for all things and submitting to one another around you, because you got the spirit of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. That's why David said, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. My mother used to say, this was your 10 strings here and get you to clap. David said, I will sing of thy power. Yes, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord. Will I sing unto thee, O Lord? I will sing unto the Lord. He said, as long as I live, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being, for my meditation of him shall be sweet and I will be glad in the Lord. So I say, let's sing. How do you get the spirit of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness? How do you do this? Number one, you learn to command your soul. Number two, remember all the benefits. And number three, get singing. Don't let anybody sing for you. Make up your own songs. Turn off the music. It's not for consumption, it's for production. It's meant to come out of the depths of your being. And you will carry about you a part of an excellent spirit. Is having the spirit of praise that drives away the spirit of heaviness, the optimism, the faith, the power, the glory of having an excellent spirit because you have a spirit of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.